13 or 13.
I am he as you are, he as you are, me, and we are all together. See how they run like pigs from a gun, see how they fly.
KNR Dearborn, Keener 13.
The subject is Paul McCartney. The circumstance is possible death. The program is a result of research. This is John Small with Russ Gibb and Dan Carlisle. We will present our burden of proof, a documentary that investigates a startling string of coincidences that points to a missing Beatle, a spiritual trip, a preoccupation with death and car accidents, a series of he's alive but nowhere to be found, and what may be, in pure fact, a hoax. Beatle music has strong, dynamic intent. There's no plain blues, no simple solos, and no natural easiness. Beatle music pushes, innovates, crushes all forms of what we consider to be normal. Jazz cats, square cults, and potheads, they all draw from Beatlemania, and so does the audience. The listener began this program emphatically a week ago. They bluntly asked, "Is Paul McCartney dead?" The rumor thereafter spread. Radio stations and other media, unable to answer the question, began indicting the source. The source, in fact, is the listener. The crassness of the rumor and the initial investigation proved that there was information to be had. Colleges, high schools, fraternities, sororities, dormitories, and just the general public at the beginning of the week began investigating. It was the youth at the beginning of the week that began to investigate. And by the end of the week, parents were calling the radio station to give more and complete information. After several days of investigation, it was decided that an appropriate approach should be made. Rumors are one thing. Research is another. To combine the efforts of the research and perhaps make it effective, it is very necessary to bring about areas of discussion. There are five areas that will be discussed. One, Paul McCartney is alive, and the Beatles' preoccupation with death, the walrus, and exotic symbolism is just a game. Number two, Paul McCartney is dead, and John Lennon now, as the titular head of the new Beatles, has devised a scheme to keep McCartney alive, still reminding a rather gullible public through its albums that he is in fact a resurrected living. Three, that Paul is alive, however ill, and not an active member of the working Beatles. A double has been conceivably used since 1966. Four, the innate symbolism, which is sometimes extremely elementary, is an exemplary device to tell the Beatles' story, that is through astrology, Indian mysticism, Greek mythology, physics, and the most advanced recording techniques possible. Finally, number five, that John Lennon, acting as a self-proclaimed Jesus Christ, wishes the world to come together over any discussion of Paul McCartney, dead or alive. You will notice that in discussions with Capitol Records in the United States and Apple Records in Britain, that there is no representative or no organization man that indicates that there is anything going amok with the Beatles, no matter how much information, circumstantial or not, is given. This is understandable, but we'll continue the research anyway. The time of discussion will be in the area of 1966 to the present, and based on the following, as message songs, we will glean from these songs information we think pertinent. Strawberry Fields, Penny Lane, Revolution 9, Your Blues, Glass Onion, Blue Jay Way, Fool on the Hill, I Am a Walrus, and Come Together.
Yesterday.
There are probably three or four ways that you might be able to look at the albums of the Beatles. We have chosen perhaps two. One is the visual, one is the audio. The third, of course, is looking right into the lyrics of the Beatles. We'll do that in a moment. But to begin, let's take a visual look at yesterday and today. Paul McCartney is sitting in a packing box. Now, if you turn this box sideways, it sort of looks like Paul is sitting in a casket again. And I don't think you really have to draw too much of a conclusion about that. Other people in this city and our clue members all over the state have noticed that they feel, too, that it's a casket. There's also the obvious omnipotent hand, which a Greek professor will talk about shortly. This time, it is Ringo's open hand over McCartney.
Now, Revolver, which was another musical step, of course, for the Beatles, was their first abstract art form.
This is the first time when they start using blacks and whites against each other. This time it is inkwork. There's no fancy Beatles kind of pictures like Epstein, I'm sure, envisioned. It was the first abstract of many abstracts that you will see in Beatles albums. Three of the Beatles look forward, and Paul is looking away. The back of Revolver has something to say, too.
The guys are wearing sunglasses. You're not quite sure of their features. As a matter of fact, their features are a little bit funkier this time. A little more grown up.
And if you want to get into an amateur photography bag, you'll notice if you do look closely, the shadows defining Paul's form are less than the other of the Beatles. So consequently, we have two that are showing us more and more clues.
What has been thought of as the classic album in orchestration, Sgt. Pepper's, is a more obvious one. Now, the Beatles must have been thinking they had to give us more clues. They had to get more obvious for us. Get it out there in front. And we see some very, very interesting visual effects on the album cover.
The lyrics, of course, are going to be obvious to the listener. And the visuals were very obvious compared to the other two albums. The outfits this time were not the old button-down, Ivy League kind of suits. It wasn't the old Beatle haircut anymore of Brian Epstein, but long hair, gaudy outfits, and more big implications that Epstein no longer had control anymore. And this was rather obvious because during this period of time, he had passed away.
Two things stand out. Reaching out of the crowd, behind the Beatles, is a hand extended, palm down, over a taller Paul McCartney.
An Indian professor commented that drum indicates the universe. The drum couldn't be any bigger than it is in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Then we have a bust of a minister sitting on the grave itself.
The obvious Beatles grave. Many people thought that meant the Beatles' music was dead. Could it perhaps be that Paul is dead?
We see a left-handed bass guitar in flowers, spelling out Paul. The Beatles have always talked with us on their own terms. And they've Beatleized many of the things that they borrow from many cultures and many religions. And we're seeing all this right through the album. We see the American Indian hand signs. We see the Greek hand signs. Lots of things mixed in together. Now we get into the centerfold. Obvious mustaches for the first time.
It's a possibility here in looking very closely. And if you think we're imagining, perhaps do it sometime when you have some free time. Check that scar that we've seen in other pictures. The scar is on the left-hand upper lip of McCartney. All of a sudden comes the mustaches. All of them have one.
Now we get into the macabre, as some people have said. The braid on the other three is quite colorful, except for Paul McCartney's. It's black-trimmed.
OPD. Is that dead on arrival as we know it here in the United States, officially pronounced dead? Or is it something like Ontario Provincial Police? It seems as though the last letter might be doctored. Nonetheless, it is an obvious clue that many people have discovered and told us. We repeat it again. It's fairly obvious. OPD.
The back of the album. Three Beatles face forward, and one has its back to us. Paul McCartney. A taller, once again, Paul McCartney.
We had some interesting commentary about the name Billy Shears. If you called Billy Shears at Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock, you would probably reach that number. Billy Shears is a repetitive name in many of the albums to come. The name Billy is perhaps thought to be a substitute for Paul McCartney. A young lady tried to call that number in London. She tells the story to Russ Gibb.
I called this number like about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And I called like, you know, not at Wednesday morning at 5 a.m.
Right.
And the line was busy, and like we asked the operator to continue to try, but we said, is this Billy Shears' phone number? So she goes and checks, and she says, yes it is, and when the party answers, you know, I'll call you back. Well, she calls back about 10 minutes later, and she said the party answered, but he wouldn't accept the charges. She said to call back at the right time. So we tried a Wednesday morning at 5 a.m., which was Tuesday at 11.
Right.
That, like, you know, of course, when I was busy. So, like, yesterday I called that number, and when I asked the operator if that was Billy Shear's phone number, she said, well, it was, but it was changed. Like, it's changed. It's no longer that number. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But, like, if I heard about 3 weeks ago, and I heard about some people from Iowa,
mm-hmm.
They came from Iowa, and they said that they knew some people who had called this number and who had been sent a one-way ticket to this place in London,
mm-hmm.
where Paul is, and that supposedly, like, the appearances that he's done, it's his brother who's had, like, a plastic surgery. And he alludes to the fact that his brother looks like himself and kind of looks a little bit like him and is into the same thing in some one of the autobiographies.
An interesting story about a film called The London. And where do you get the time from? Well, notice George Harrison's hand, his finger pointing up to the lyrics, 5 o'clock. Well, we've taken a visual look at three of the albums, a small amount, a medium amount, and then a pretty large amount of information, and then a giant amount of visuals on Magical Mystery Tour, a study of visuals containing most of the message songs and some of the gigantic clues to this Beatle mystery. The front cover shows three white animals, and in the foreground, arms spread in a crucifixion fashion, we find Paul. It is our discovery that the head injury and perhaps a tooth injury is hinted at so often that the two white teeth from this walrus might be the face of a Paul McCartney. As we open Magical Mystery Tour, there's 24 pages of pictures. Let's point out some of the significant things and perhaps obvious visuals. On page 2, a picture of a busload of people. Look at the fat lady. Behind her hand, you find a gentleman with a mustache, sunglasses.
And a downriver hat.
And a downriver hat.
This fellow really gets around because in two albums after this, Dan, he appears again in various fashions. Remember now, the mustache, the glasses, the hat. Remember it.
On the back of the bus is this old man character. He appears for the first time now. With his hands, the only person on the bus, with his hands both raised in the air.
Page 3 shows McCartney seated behind a desk as a soldier. Now here again where we perhaps guessed at the lip scar, it's fairly obvious that you can see it here. It's more evident in this picture than in most.
A thought in passing now. If you have any other pictures of Paul McCartney, compare them to the eyebrow line in this one.
This may be an obvious clue to you. We've had it brought to our attention on several occasions. It all depends, I'm sure, on the mood of a person as to the line of an eyebrow. But attempt to get about two or three different kinds of faces with the same pose and dig the eyebrow line. See what happens. Is it a fact or imagination? Are the eyebrows different or are they not?
On the desk is a sign, I was you, or, plainly, I was.
Page 4 appears to be a Greek fantasy. Here, Paul has a writing stick in his hand, and we've already talked about it. Paul is left-handed, the stick in his right hand. Page 5 gets right down to it. We've talked about surgeons, we've talked about accidents, we've talked about doctors. First of all, four policemen are guarding a scene from the top of a cement wall. And what they see is a stream of maniacal-looking surgeons. The odd part about this scene is these surgeons are all dressed in a commune white coat and surrounding a black walrus. We've also been clued in, at this point, that the walrus is Paul via the glass onion.
Now, the hippo is holding Paul's bass guitar. And the white piano, maybe an operating table. Your imagination, once again.
Page 6 has two large pictures. The top shows a man with a walrus mustache chuckling up his way past a tour window in London, perhaps, which has a sign, the best way to go is by M&D Company.
The Well, listener clues during the week have hinted that MD may mean number one, hot drugs, number two, muscular dystrophy, or three, medical doctor.
And the lower picture shows John Lennon in sort of an Arlo Guthrie getup, seated next to our mustached, bespeckled friend that we've seen in other pictures. Is this character just somebody who happens to be there, or is this repetition meaningful?
Now, page 10 has a new significance. A group shot. Paul wears no shoes. The mustache is gone. And the scar is not evident. On page 12 and 13, we have a centerfold shot with Paul and no shoes.
Now, page 21 puts George Harrison in the center of the street with the license number from a car containing the letter L, which we understand indicates the driver is a learner.
Now, page 23 smacks of a heavy clue. All the Beatles in white ties and tails, three of them with red flowers in their lapels, all with a black.
A group shot on page 24 brings back what other group shots have shown. Paul has his arms raised again with a hand overhead. Now, Apple Records tells us, as you'll notice at the end of the program, that there is no significance to any of this. We cannot believe it.
On the double set called The Beatles, the simplicity of the White Beatles album visually is rectified with heavy engineering and audio secrets.
We'll bring those to you shortly.
Now, if Lennon is being acquitted on a charge of representing the purity of Christ, or Christ himself, an all-white album speaks for itself.
The insert lets you draw plenty of conclusions. Although Paul appears to be taking what appears to be an unassuming bath, his head is floating in shampoo. And at first glance, the picture might well indicate a brain splatter.
Our friend with the mustache, the glasses, and the strange hat appears for the third time. Now, I think this may become significant right now. Is he the devil? Paul McCartney, that everybody talks about.
Well, his features can easily become Paul's if you work at it, it seems to me, with some clever makeup or doctoring. The mustache, of course, the Beatles can afford. And as far as expensive photographers, we noticed one shot where Paul's head is chopped off in the picture. Now, it's either that Apple has bad photographers, it was intentional, the guy who edited the page had bad cropping. Then you add also to that splatters of what appears to be blood on the sidewalk. Again, some clues that cannot defy the eye, they're not that abstract, they are there. Again, Apple says that these are all coincidence.
Once there was a way to get back homeward.
Abbey Road, the newest Beatle album. Now, if Revolver represented the Beatles' most abstract form of album cover, Abbey Road's visuals gotta hit you in the eye. You've seen the cover printed everywhere, and it's fairly obvious you're seeing a parade of a white Jesus Christ, a black-coated minister,
and, of course, an obvious corpse. The corpse here being Paul McCartney. An outdated suit, no shoes, cigarette in wrong hand, and he's out of step. The obvious VW has 28F on it. Paul would have been 28 if he had lived.
Presuming he's dead, of course.
Right. A police hearse decorates the background right on Abbey Road. A close inspection of London city map shows a graveyard on the right is in actuality a parking lot. And the police station is not far from the pictures. So perhaps here again, there's the coincidence of that so-called police hearse.
Now, are all these coincidences, are we being duped into believing this?
Apple Records seems to want us to believe it, but we don't.
Boy, you're gonna carry
look at the Beatles. And the lyrics have something to say.
Nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever.
In Strawberry Fields, Strawberry I bury Paul is a highlight of the new Hidden Meanings.
Strawberry Fields forever.
It's at the end of this selection and comes out clean and clear by an English voice. I buried Paul. Listen closely. A fool on a hill.
Day after day, alone on a hill. The man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still.
The Beatles speak of a dead man.
But nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer but the fool on the hill.
Smiling and never changing.
Going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on the way, head in a cloud, the man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud, but nobody ever hears him or the sound he appears to make, and he never seems to notice what the fool on the hill.
The fool on the hill, the Beatles speaking of a dead man, smiling and never changing and never going around.
See the world spinning round.
The fool on the hill. The Blue Jay Way, a fog being upon L.A. Originally L.A., it was not to be included in the song, but later it was changed on a piece of stationery from Fitzpatrick Corporation in Los Angeles. Blue Jay Way. The sound of Blue Jay Way. I am a walrus, waiting for the van to come. City policemen sitting pretty, little policemen all in a row. I'm crying, I'm crying. Even more significance in I Am a Walrus, quotes from King Lear are evident. Is he dead? And bury my body.
Is he dead? Sit you down, Father. Bless you. Is he dead? Sit you down, Father. Bless you.
Bless you, Father. Is he dead? And bury my body. I am a walrus. I am a walrus. The walrus. Then the excitement of Penny Lane.
Penny Lane, there is a bar showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know.
Penny Lane is the area where Paul took his choir lessons during an early age. Penny Lane.
Come and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car. The little children laugh at him behind his back. And the banker never wears a mask in the pouring rain. Very strange.
Penny Lane.
Penny Lane.
And then the masterpiece of the Beatles, The Day in the Life.
I read a newsday, oh boy.
The Day in the Life.
About a lucky man who made the grade.
One of the most obvious cues in the entire series.
The news was rather sad. Well, I just had to laugh.
It's but a day in the life, a day in the life.
He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the night had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure he was around.
He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They had seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the House of Lords. A Day in the Life. Is this really a clue? Lucky man who made the grade, and though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car.
4,000 holes in Blackburn, Lancashire.
To turn you on, a statement that got them kicked out of the BBC, London, England. A Day in the Life. A message song. And then the glass onion.
I told you about Strawberry Peel. You know the place where nothing is real. Well, here's another place you can go. Where everything grows.
In the face of clues, Glass Onion, the first song where we get a major song saying there's a clue. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Here's a clue for you all, the walrus's paw.
Oh, yeah.
The fool on the hill, man, he's still living there still, man. Listen to me. The walrus and I are as close as can be.
I told you about the fool on the hill. I tell you, man, he's living there still. Well,
Big Clue song. The walrus is Paul, man. The walrus is Paul. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine.
Number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine.
It isn't always necessary to hear lyrics of the Beatles music in a forward motion.
Number
nine was the first big clue. Only difference is you split channels. And you play things backwards. And you get this. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Turns into... You will have to listen terribly closely. You will be hearing this on a split channel. A gurgle, a scream. He hit a light pole. We better get him to see a surgeon. And then a scream. So anyhow... He went to the dentist. Instead, he gave him a pair of teeth that weren't any good at all. Then a car horn. My wings are broken, and so is my hair. I'm not in the mood for words. Then more gurgling. Sounds of war. Find the night watchman. A suit. It must be a louse. A fine natural imbalance. Must have got it between the shoulder blades. And then we hear the twist. The Watusi, the El Dorado. Listen awfully closely.
So the white pole, then we better go to see a sick. Oh, what is the price? Yellow on the gold. So any road, he went to see the dentist instead of gave him a pair of teeth, which wasn't any good at all. So instead of that, he joined the 49 he went to see.
May it serve you well.
He hit a light pole. We better get him to see a surgeon. And then a scream. So anyhow, we went to see a dentist. Instead gave him a pair of teeth that weren't any good at all. A car horn. My wings are broken and so is my hair. I'm not in the mood for words. And then some gurgling. Then some sounds of war. find the night watchman. Something about a suit. It must be a louse. A fine, natural imbalance. Must have got it between the shoulder blades. Then we hear the twist in Watusi. And then the Eldorado. If you didn't believe it first, then you want to hear it again. This is it. Is this just an accident that it is in a Beatles album? Listen closely. Particular sound was equalized and was a half a track on a Beatles album.
Take this, brother. May it serve you well.
It is Revolution 9. Three guys by the name of John Rau, Gary Johnson, and Edward Moon got together and equalized more tapes. What you're listening to now is Ubla de Forward. Turning Ubladi Ublada around, equalizing it, and putting it on one track brings out a brand new meaning. It's something like this. What it really means is, ha ha ha, I think we've done it. Ha ha ha, I think we've done it. Listen closely. Ha ha ha, I think we did it. Ha ha ha, I think we did it. Ubladi Ublada reversed. That's the first in a series of reversals. Listen now to the next one.
This is the Your Mother Should Know Me, and this is the back. It's backward, right?
Backwards and rephased.
It's rephased. Any particular channel, or it goes back and forth?
No, we took it off stereo and put it onto full track and rephased it off the two.
And then we chose the best.
We chose the best best of the bunch, and actually, it's only one track, isn't it?
Yes, it's a B track.
Yeah, I think we wound up with the B track on this.
Okay.
Dead, why doesn't she know me? I shed the light. Why doesn't she know me? Dead, why doesn't she know me? I shed the light. Why doesn't she know me? Dead, I shed the light. Why don't they ask my mind? I don't know. Why doesn't she know more? If I shed the light.
Take it.
This is Backwards. Your Mother Should Know. Why doesn't she know me? I shed the light. Why doesn't she know me? I shed the light. Why doesn't she know me? I don't know for sure.
Why does she know me? Why do they ask my mother to be so?
Up to with them my offering. Fate is everything but mercy is the starting place. This is Backwards. Why does she know me dead? Why doesn't she know me? I shed the light. Why do they ask me why mine to be sure? Love to them has offering, and fate has nothing more. It soothes the sadness, and my heart ignores them.
This is Blue Jay Way, and the inference here is what? Find me my body?
Please, God, find my body.
Or find me my body, find my body. Please, God, find my body.
It's like a soul, you know. It's
find me.
It's now a chant. The resurrection, you know, maybe.
What is that? And this is Backward on Blue Jay Way.
Right. Yeah, out of phase again.
Find me my body, oh God. Find me my body. The reversal of Blue Jay Way.
Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. I want to tell her that I love her a lot, but I got a belly full of wine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, someday I'm going to make her mine. Oh yeah, someday I'm going to make her mine.
A study of the lyrics of the Beatles music.
In the Midwest, Cleo, the astrologer, is one of the best-known personalities. Her clientele includes some of the great names in the auto industry, as well as luminaries in show business. We asked Cleo about Paul McCartney.
Well, Paul is a Gemini, born June 10th, 1942. And being a Gemini, he's a person who's very mental. He has his Mercury there, so he collects his information this way. And he's extremely changeable, very versatile. He's eager, he's restless. And there's an element of deception with Gemini because of the fact that whenever they get new information, it changes continually. So today he may be adamantly for something, and tomorrow maybe adamantly against something, so that it seems deceptive, and yet the chart has some deception in it anyway. It's very mental, as we said, and the fact that he loves playing games, he loves playing mental gymnastics, he loves this kind of thing. He's idealistic, but idealism with this boy particularly could very easily turn to cynicism, and he's the kind of a person who is very much influenced by other people because of the location of the different planets in the different places in the chart. And he's kind of a person that could be talked into almost any type of a thing. He's creative, he's very artistic, and on top of all of this, he tires of things easily. So if this is a game that he's playing, he'll tire of it very quickly. In this chart that I do for looking ahead chart. You know, it's the kind of a thing that, first of all, he's got a thyroid problem. He has had it all of his life. And his weakest spot in his body is his kidneys. And at this time, from about June, July of this year, I think he's been very anemic. But yes, I do believe he's ill from this chart. And I also think that it has affected him mentally. But then drugs are very important in this man's chart. And he should never touch drugs. Ever. Even aspirin affects him adversely. And he shouldn't be touching it. But along with this, there is a... And it's hard to, you know, to diagnose. I'm not a doctor. But from what I see, there's an element of bloating or water retention. And, of course, the accident shows up in this chart, too, and that's bones and skin, knees particularly, and injuries to the head. And, of course, didn't he hurt his teeth? Wasn't it his teeth that were...
He chipped it, too.
Chipped it, too. Well, this would be the mildest that it could possibly be. But I think that he's got something radically wrong with him, something that he knows about, perhaps that others don't, but he knows about. Another thing, too, that this year... His friends are very upset with him. He has a tendency to upset them very much. And through creativity and through the type of mental processes he goes through, he enjoys playing games. And I wouldn't doubt that this is some sort of a game that he's playing. He just loves to do that type of thing. And yet he seems very logical, and he can be very much influenced by other people because of the location of all the planets and where they are. He is very much influenced by anyone else. It isn't just the other three in the group, but it's anyone. No, not by chart-wise. If I've got the correct information, no. No, I don't see him as being dead, if that's what you're looking for. But ill, yes. He may be at home. There's an element of home here in the chart, being that basic sense of security, wherever he feels the safest. I wouldn't doubt that he would be in hiding or in some place like this. But the element of deception being there, too, it's some sort of a lie. And again, I haven't done the chart enough. I haven't worked with it or watched the man's career enough to know. But wherever that home is, it's not as at home where you know it. Or if he's saying his family being mother, father, that type of thing, no. Nor at the home that others know. Some sort of a deception there, and it's a weird kind of thing because he's making everyone upset about it. Family's extremely upset about it. And where the children should be careful not to be around water. And it's funny because, you know, this chart's going to end up, this type of publicity, he's going to turn it into an asset instead of a liability. He is so lucky, this man. And he knows youth, and he knows people. And it's going to be an asset. The rest of the group may not think so, but he'll turn it into an asset some way. That's that element up in here. He'll find a way to communicate that fun element. Wasn't it fun? Ah, ha, ha. And it'll be sold that way, and others will buy it that way. But the group is like thumbs down. It's a no-no for the group.
Now, the group,
once he gets going, and particularly this year, he wanted attention. He wanted it now, and he wanted it immediately, and he wanted to be known, number one. When you've got a good relationship with a certain planet, yes, you become more popular, more in favor, more in demand. Yes, and of his 10th house, which relates to his business house, or his popularity, or his honor, whatever you want to look at it, it's past that area now. And it's gone into John's particular area. And so naturally it would be. But because of the stupid way these planets move, they don't always go forward and stay that way. Sometimes they slow up. It's called retrograde. And it stops. And it goes back over an area and passes it over. And that's why sometimes things happen in threes. And so it's coming back to favor him again. As weird as it might seem.
If you were to ask anyone, who is the voice of Apple, who is the voice of the Beatles, who is the voice of both in London, the name would be Derek Taylor.
Hello? Hello, Miss... Yes, Derek Taylor. sure.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Now, listen, I'll tell you, McCartney is alive. What do you have to do to prove it?
What would you have to do?
Well, yeah.
Sir?
To prove he's alive, apart from be alive.
Yeah. I think if you could, we could talk to Paul, and if he could dispel it, that would be the greatest thing that could happen around this town.
It'd be great to have a tape of Paul saying he's not dead, but it gets very grotesque then.
Here's what we'd like to ask.
How that answers it, you know, because then if people don't believe that the man who married Linda, or that the man who sang Maxwell's Silver Hammer, or the man who was on the photograph on the Abbey Road cover is Paul, who's going to believe that his voice on the air is Paul?
Right, because we have a spokesman from Apple, Derek, saying that they have a girl who can imitate his voice. Out of the American office. I'll tell you what we'd like answered, if possible, Derek. Yes. Because we'd like to put this...
Because he's on vacation.
I see.
Last seen in London on Monday.
Well, could you answer this?
Hell, watching Mary Hopkins.
Derek?
And their wives.
Derek? Hello? Could you answer these questions?
Yes.
Why the preoccupation with death and exotic symbolisms of death.
I'm not aware of any preoccupation with death or any symbolism. These are not things that we are aware of. What is the trouble with discussing symbolism is that unless there are two parties to the symbolism, it's you showing me things that I don't believe. And see, I have to live with reality here. I know that he's alive because I have to do his work, I have to cope with him. I have to answer his requests and meet the realities of Paul being alive.
Right.
What I can't cope with is that he's dead, because he's not, you see. So we're dealing with supposition, and I'm having to cope with and answer hypotheses, and I cannot talk hypothetically. No matter how much symbolism there is pointing to his death, that is irrelevant since he's alive.
If yes.
He heard, the symbolism would have some relevance.
Right.
If he's alive, it has no relevance.
The other questions that we have, however, Derek, what about the Turn Me On Dead Man on Revolution Number 9 when it's played backward? Is that just a fluke?
At the end of Revolution Number 9?
At the beginning, when the gentleman comes on and says, Number 9, Number 9, Number 9. You play that backwards and it says, Turn Me On Dead Man. Why did they place in a record the I Am a Walrus? Are you familiar that walrus in the Roman mythology is death?
No, they wouldn't be either.
Okay. Are you aware?
Suppose.
I see. Are you aware that in I Am a Walrus, the song, that in the end they quote from King Lear about bury the body here, untimely death? I think that's about chapter 9.
Well, what happened there was that was a tape of a radio play. They taped British radio. They taped radio stations in England. Various radio stations for that medley at the end of I Am the Walrus. And there's that portion from King Lear. But most of that sort of thing is haphazard, you know.
I see. What about on Revolution Number 9?
Symbolism, which is not really in it.
I see. On Revolution Number 9, there's an accident. They talk about an accident on the B track. They talk about hitting a light pole and going to a surgeon. Are you familiar with that one?
Yes, I am, but it has no meaning. It has no relevance. Why would, you know, most of these things are just done on the spur of the moment.
Well, what about the fact that on the Abbey album, why do they have everybody dressed up as they do? They're all in step except Paul, and Paul's out of step and barefooted.
Suppose I tell you he's alive. Where does that leave us?
That leaves us to the fact that I think that you are an honest man. I've never heard otherwise. But I also think that the Beatles are very clever men. I think that John particularly... I've
not as clever as that.
You don't believe so?
As clever as you suppose.
What about the Paul spelled out on the Sgt. Pepper's album, the guitar in flowers?
That's apparently there's a left-handed guitar there.
Yes.
On the grave?
Yes, it is a grave.
A letter from a man in Indiana today who says that he's had no intelligence response from Apple because we are clearly dense in that we cannot see the symbolism. We'll live with that. We'll live with that description of dense. We cannot see the symbolism because there is none.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live far more spontaneously than anyone supposes. What you have here are four Beatles acting their lives out in a spontaneous way and having read into that acting out something which isn't there. Something that happens in England.
Okay.
Every time a royal baby is born, there's a period of something like 2 to 3 months before there are any photographs issued. In the intervening period, after the royal baby is born, rumors abound that the baby is deformed, and they're finding a substitute before they release the royal photograph. This is a continuing rumor. It happens every time there's a royal baby. The baby's a spastic, the baby's a mongol, the baby's died. You know, so we
right.
aren't familiar with this sort of thing. There are many things that can always point, you know. There's many symbols, many things you can read. Many numerologists will find things. Weather forecasters will find things. But it's not there.
Was there a contest held for a double for Paul a couple of years ago?
No, we never ran anything like that. Magazines do. 16 Magazine found a double in Keith Allison. Up to this one was the fact that Paul had been married in Seattle. That was 1966 rumor. Now that he's married and got a baby, rumors are thin on the ground. So here's a death rumor.
Was it true that they used to call as a nickname, and Derek, I'm asking these out of hoping to put this thing to rest, not out of insult. Or,
I know you are, Russ. I know you are.
Because that's not where my head's at, man.
What
about Cold Turkey?
That's a John Lennon song.
Right.
On the Plastigono Band.
And they keep hollering out Paul on it.
No, he's not in the lyrics. There was a rumor going around at the time of Give Peace a Chance that the word fag appeared.
Faggot, yes. What word would that be?
It's bagism, was the phrase.
Bagism?
Bagism.
B-A-G?
Yes.
What is Bagism?
Bagism is John Lennon's company. Bag Productions Limited is his production company for his films with Yoko.
I see. Is there any significance to Brian Epstein's comment about brown paper sacks for Sergeant Pepper?
Now, the bag reference there is that one of their manifestations is that John and Yoko have run press conferences and appeared at the Albert Hall in a bag, just sat inside the bag with a string on the top.
Mm-hmm. Why did they do that?
A symbol of anonymity.
I see.
A time in their lives when they wish to be anonymous. So they get into a bag and do their interviews from inside a bag. It's also used by used car salesmen in Los Angeles on television.
I see. What about...
So Bag Productions is their company. Bagism is the way of life, the search for anonymity. And in the song, Give Peace a Chance, is everyone talking about bagism, shagism, thisism, thatism. The word faggot isn't in the song.
What about the Brian Epstein's comment about brown paper sacks for the Sgt. Pepper album?
Yeah, that's what he wanted. He didn't want an ornate album. He wanted the brown paper bag to be the album.
How come they changed the album covers on the... Excuse me. How come they changed the album covers on the Yesterday and Today?
Well, that was they didn't change it. It was a commercial enterprise in which Capitol said that they couldn't sell the album and it had that cover on with the Butcher's thing. So they overlaid it with another cover, as you know.
Right, and they put inside a box Paul McCartney.
Yeah, inside the... yes, true enough, in the packing case.
Right. That's where the doll was in the original cover.
Right. It's coincidental. Unless there somewhere deep down is a death wish, I don't know. That could be so.
What about the picture on Sergeant, Magical Mystery Tour, where they talk about clues? Do you recall that?
Yes.
Who's Billy Shears?
Billy Shears is an invented name.
I see. Is there a telephone number hidden in that album?
No.
When you get to that song, there's a fool on the hill.
Yes.
Is there any significance that you know in that?
No, not that I know of. I know the song and the fool.
What about the photograph of them all dressed in white tuxedos? They all have red roses.
All of them are black carnations.
I see. And a bouquet in his hands.
Right.
Why was that?
Spontaneity again.
No meaning.
No meaning, except that all this may tell you something about McCartney's desire not to conform.
Yes, I think that's it. I agree.
But his nonconformity takes a visual form rather than an active one. In other words, he's less likely to conform on photographs, but he's more likely to conform in his everyday life.
Yes, sir.
Say, John.
What about the Abbey Road album? There's a police van or hearse parked down there. Was that just coincidence?
Well, sure, that would be nothing. That would just be there on the road. It can happen in any environment.
And there's a Volkswagen parked there with the license plate IF28. Would not Paul be about 28?
No, we're getting very bizarre now.
These are questions that the kids are asking.
Listen, when the human race is having to confront itself at the point that we got to now, 1969, anything can happen, any question can be asked. The more irrelevant it is to the main issue, the better.
Right.
Pop out. Listen, don't worry about that question. It's all coincidence. Paul McCartney isn't dead, and the only proof we have that he's alive at this point is that he is. You don't have to do any more than that to prove you're alive, except be alive. You don't have to produce yourself, you don't have to appear on television or speak, or even make a statement. You just have to be alive to make the point, if only to yourself. If people don't wish to be convinced, no amount of denial from Apple will make any difference. But the fact of the matter is that Paul McCartney is alive and well and living in St. John's Wood with his wife and their two children. Beyond that, we really can't emphasize it any further.
Once there was a way to get back homeward.
I think Paul McCartney is alive. I think that the Beatles have gotten themselves involved in a charlatan game. I feel that they have been hot and cold on this game, and that what started out as a rebuttal to John's comment about the Beatles being more popular than Jesus Christ started John to thinking, and he wrapped this out with the other fellows, and they have proceeded to play the game. They played it with the media that they're most at home with, and that, of course, is the record. I think in the near future, we will see a resurrection of Paul McCartney. We will see a lot of publicity given to the fact that he is indeed alive and kicking. I'm overwhelmed by the intensity of thought that has gone into this, and I'm also overwhelmed by the idea that the general public has taken this long to catch on to the Beatle game. Or the Beatle plot, if you would.
Now the sun will rise.
Research is a copyrighted program of Russ Gibb Productions in association with John Small and Dan Carlisle. The preceding pre-recorded.
This is WKNR Dearborn, Keener 13.